Welcome back to season two of Snubs and Dubs. We've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobias, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, welcome to the second bonus episode of season two.
Wow. Glad to be here.
We're here.
To be quite frank about it.
So this is kind of a weird choice for a bonus because it is highly acclaimed. But it's also just kind of an odd film. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know about you. I'm a sucker for films about bands.
I love films about bands because it's a shared experience. We've both been in bands. Yeah. The movie's about bands. You kind of feel a more connection. You understand the dynamics at play. Yes. We both love having giant heads over top of our heads. This is things we do in our free time.
God, really makes you think about your ego and inflating heads and something.
Yeah. I don't know. My key is if you suck at a lot of stuff, you don't have too big of an ego.
But there was a paralyzing amount of choice for bonus episode content within 2014. And after much deliberation and a lot of second guessing, we set on Frank. Had you seen it before?
I have not seen it before. I don't think I even heard about it before somehow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that difficult to believe that you never heard about it because I don't think a lot of people saw it.
No. Have you seen it before?
Yes, surprisingly. It was a few years ago. I missed it in the years that it came out because we'll get to it, but very odd release schedule, very limited. I never got this on Blu-ray. It's kind of like eluded me, and I think it's really expensive now. But I watched it on streaming, and I don't know. It kind of stuck with me a little bit.
Yeah.
I always remember bits of it. Like, I remember the whole visual appeal, and obviously I remember Frank and his big papier-mâché head. So, yeah. But it's been a few years. Mm-hmm. So, should we just get into it?
Let's just dive into Frank.
All right. If you were interested in Frank, I've included the links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out our show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link to help out our show in the process. A reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation yet. So, if you haven't seen Frank and you want to, go ahead and do so. I've also included time codes in the show notes so you can jump around to your heart's content. But without further ado, let's get into it. So Frank is directed by Lenny Abrahamson and is written by John Rotson and Peter Straughan, which in the movie and on Wikipedia, it says it's based on a newspaper article by John Rotson. It's a little bit more complicated than that, it seems. This is essentially inspired by a true story.
Yes.
And by a real person.
Mm-hmm.
John Rotson, the writer, was essentially the Domhnall Gleeson character in this movie. He was in a band in the 80s with the real Frank Sidebottom, whose real name was Chris Seavey, who would wear a papier-mâché head and be kind of ecstatic and whatever. However, this movie is not a biopic. Mm-hmm. It is an original narrative based on the idea of Frank Sidebottom and his personality. They have done a real life true story documentary now, and John Rotson wrote a book that came out around the same time that this movie was released, but this is a work of fiction. It is not at all like a true story thing. But yeah, it stars Michael Fassbender as Frank, Domhnall Gleeson as John Burroughs, Maggie Gyllenhaal as Clara, Scott McNairy as Don, Francois Seville as Barack, and Carla Azar as Nana. It has a runtime of 95 minutes. That's in that sweet spot.
Oh, baby.
And it premiered at Sundance on January 17th, 2014, before going, quote, wide in Ireland and the UK on May 9th, 2014. It went to one theater in the US on August 15th of 2014. Hmm. It then opened in progressively more theaters after that, but the peak amount of theaters it was open in at one time in the domestic marketplace was only 68. The book that I mentioned that John Rotson wrote earlier was released on January 16th, one day before the Sundance premiere.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we got kind of like a double whammy of the fictionalized version of Frank and the nonfiction version of Frank out at the same time.
Hmm.
Yeah. But Jason, what did you think of Frank?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's a very interesting, it's such a unique movie. It's well done. The characters, they're colorful and also very well portrayed.
Yep.
I really enjoyed this movie. It's very unique. What do you think of it?
I really liked it too. I don't think it stuck with me as much on a rewatch, but the characters are like really well realized. The acting is really good.
It is.
These guys are like not the people that you'd want to be around necessarily.
No, they suck.
But that's kind of the point. Like, you're witnessing these just like hyper egotistical artists that mm-hmm. are just doing the weirdest shit, but it's so interesting to watch.
Yeah. Like, the only really likable characters are Frank, obviously.
Yeah.
And Don, yeah. who I still, you can't stand motionless around him, though. I wouldn't fall asleep near that guy.
Yeah, and Don also isn't, like, the most likable throughout, too. Like, no. he does also make, like, asshole-y choices with the rest of the band. He's just of the most innocent, maybe, of them.
He's not the most confrontational, whereas everyone else will just fight you if they want to. He doesn't take that route, but he still does dickish things. More like an administrative jerk than like a direct confrontation.
That is the best way to put it. Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to quickly run through the plot?
Yeah, let's quickly run through that plot. Right.
Well, if you wanted to skip ahead, I do have the time codes in the show notes, but I'm going to quickly run through the plot in brief points, and we're going to get right back to the discussion. So here we go. So at the start of the film, we see John as he tries and fails to write songs. He then sees a man trying to drown himself and takes that man's place in Frank's band. They play a weird gig where after the equipment fails during the first song, they immediately leave. The band, the Soundperverbs, consists of Don, the manager, the drummer Nana, synthesizer and theremin player Clara, French guitarist Barack, and lead vocalist Frank, who always wears a papier-mâché mask over his head. Frank invites John to become a full-time member of the band. John agrees and accompanies them to Ireland to spend an entire year in a remote cavern while they work on recording their debut album. Shenanigans ensue that John films and documents online, and even though they've run out of money and have yet to produce anything, John sees the potential, and so he uses his grandfather's inheritance to keep them going. Finally, they do complete the album, and right after, Don hangs himself. John reveals that he has been secretly uploading the band's recording sessions on social media to the band, and that the band has gained a small following online, and they have been invited to perform at South by Southwest. Most of the band is offended by John's promotion of them, but Frank, excited by the prospect of a large audience, agrees to go to the festival. Clara confronts John as he soaks in the bathtub, expressing contempt for his growing influence over Frank. The ensuing argument culminates in them having angry sex and Clara threatening to stab him if the trip to America goes awry. The band begins to have arguments over creative differences leading up to the performance. Clara and Frank disappear shortly before their concert, and John finds him in an alley where Clara is helping Frank starve off a mental breakdown. John tries to get Frank to go back to the festival with him, prompting Clara to stab John in the leg as promised. After she is arrested, John uses the scandal to build publicity for the band. The night before the concert, the drummer and guitarist quit the band, so John and Frank go on stage by themselves in spite of Frank's deteriorating mental health. When John tries to begin the set with one of his own songs rather than one from the album, Frank has a breakdown and collapses on stage. They move into a cheap hotel together where a frustrated John tries to forcibly unmask Frank. Frank escapes and is hit by a car, smashing his fake head. He manages to flee before John can see his real face. Sometime later, John visits a dive bar where Clara, Nana, and Barack are playing as a trio and apologizes to them for having taken control of the band. John then finds Frank in his hometown of Bluff City, Kansas, where he is living with his parents. Frank declares he has been unable to make music since the band fell apart. John then takes Frank to the dive bar where the rest of the band is playing, where they quickly realize who he is. Frank begins to sing and they join him. With the original band restored, John leaves the bar alone. But that's Frank.
Well, Cal, thank you for that excellent Tim Horton-sponsored ice cap recap of the movie Frank. I feel like I had just watched it again, even though I watched it last night.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, what are some standouts of this movie for you?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
What I really, really love about this is the main character sucks. Yeah. He's the problem. He just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And we need more movies to be brave enough to have a main character who just sucks the life out of everything. Yeah. Because you think he's going to get an arc where he becomes this enlightened, creative guy who can make beautiful songs. No, he's the lack of art.
Yeah.
He should just be some dude in accounting back in an office job. He sucks. And it's really fun to have that.
Yeah, it is really fun. The acting in this is so good because they all commit to that sort of like weird arc. And you'd think that at the end, Don might have, not Don, John might have like a good song out of that, out of the whole like interaction with Frank, that Frank maybe would have motivated him to make something great, but he doesn't. Yeah. Like, he never makes a good song. And even at the end, like him trying to perform his own song is what ultimately puts Frank into that state of where he falls onto the ground.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And like, in defense, Frank, that song sucked. Like, it's, if I heard that at South by Southwest, I'd be very disappointed. I'd be a little upset, really. That is not a good song.
Oh, I love the bit too when Frank tries to do his most likable song.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like trying not to say that it's not great.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Because I like a lot of the music in this because like it has, it is well written. It's all weird stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still enjoyable. Like, I was looking up the soundtrack on Spotify afterwards, and I Love You All has over a million streams on it. Like, it actually kind of hit after that. And it is kind of a fun song.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender, home grand slam home run. He gets so much while wearing a giant head, but you still really understand and feel for Frank. Like, he's a real, that he had such a good performance.
Yeah. He wanted to do this too.
Interesting.
Yeah, he really, like, when he heard that they were doing this, he reached out to try and be Frank in a movie.
Yeah.
And so,
and he was a perfect choice for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And what really motivated him was they put the head on and said, we don't take this off till the movie's done. And then he just had to really, really try and hammer it out.
Yeah. What did you think of Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Honestly, I didn't realize it was her till after.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know much about Maggie Gyllenhaal, but she was really good in this.
Yeah. Like, she did kind of capture that like Tumblr edgelord. Yeah.
She just kind of sucks and has like a whole like superiority complex.
Oh my god,
such main character energy.
Yeah. I like the scene where John finally kind of lashes back at her in the hot tub, and it results in them like fucking in the hot tub. So odd. And she's like, I'm gonna stab you if anything goes wrong. Stick to her word, you gotta give her credit. Like, she did stab him.
What I love in this movie is like they drop, if you went back and watch it, they drop a lot of foreshadowing about things. There's like in one of the songs that they're recording, it's like when this is all done, someone leaves, and then like as soon as it's over, Don kills himself. They make John give birth to an egg, and then he gives them his nest egg to stay at the cabin.
Wow.
The stabbing thing. Mm. There's a lot of like fun little hints that are dropped in about what's coming up afterwards.
I didn't even realize a lot of those. Wow, look at you being astute and observational.
And I normally watch like a bunch of video essays and whatnot to sound smarter. I caught that one on my own.
Wow. Good
I'm
for
an
you.
Adult. Yep.
I was like trying to watch video essays about this, but I ended up just down the rabbit hole of the real Frank Sidebottom videos.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was he was a goofball, but it was so entertaining to watch. Like,
see, I don't know anything about it. I did know going in about like the based on the concept of him wearing a funny hat or I guess head.
Yeah.
Not really a hat, but technically, yeah. But what's the real story? What's the real character there?
I guess like, yeah, he was kind of just like that, where he one day, I think his dad made him a papier-mâché head and he just started wearing it, never took it off, like in the movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the documentary. I wanted to watch the documentary, but I just didn't have the time. And like, he did stuff like children's shows, and he was more of like a comedian than he was like an artsy musician.
Yeah.
He was very concerned about being liked, like in the movie as well. Like, he wanted to have a large audience, but he did that more through like comedy music and like a talk show type thing that he had and just like random goofy stuff, like live performances. There's one that I watched where he did a like an improvisational song about him thinking of a biscuit and he's just like, I'm thinking of a biscuit, it's covered in chocolate and has a crispy thing in the middle, and like they just went through and then he made the audience guess the biscuit. It's so weird, but it was so fun. And I guess like it was, and like it shows in the movie, quite painful to actually wear the mask.
It has to have been. Oh, the sweat.
And and like it was digging in, and I guess it like pushed on his nose a lot of the time. So like he had like his nose was like deformed after wearing it for so long. But yeah, I think that's like a rabbit hole that's worth looking down, because very, very interesting character. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I would like to see like a real biopic of him because I think that would be entertaining.
It would be.
I don't know if we'd see it for a long time because this Frank movie has kind of like, I don't know if it's taken that spot for now, but it does feel odd to do Frank, a narrative movie that's fictional, and then go into like a dramatized version of the real man's life because I guess he was also like obviously a troubled man as well, and kind of a control freak as well with all of his projects. But I would like to see it.
I think there's probably a room for that. This movie wasn't like so big that it dominates the market. No, I think you can probably do the actual Frank Sideshow. Was his, what was his name?
Frank Sidebottom.
Sidebottom. I was kind of close. He's the main show. Mm-hmm. Speaking of being dedicated, did you know that Maggie Gyllenhaal actually had to learn how to play the theremin and that all the instruments being played are actually being played?
That's cool.
That is cool. That. It's really hard to play a theremin. Not a lot of people know how to play it. So that's kind of cool that she went through the process of learning it and playing it.
Cool. Good for her.
Yeah.
And that's a lifelong skill now that she can say.
Exactly. It'll never be used again. No one knows how to play a theremin. Also, no one has need for one. So that's kind of a self-defeating skill to have. You're one of the 10 people in the world who can do that and never have the opportunity to.
Yeah. Well, we like it. What do you think the critics and audience thought of Frank?
I have to imagine that those people who went to see it probably loved it because it's kind of, it's good. It's fresh. It's refreshing. I'm going to say critics, 92. I'm going to say audiences, maybe like a 90.
Wow, I recoiled there because you were right on the dot with critics, 92%.
Ooh, nice.
Audiences were a little mixed though, 72%.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess they just didn't get it. You know, like their music, just didn't get it.
I got the sense from the Letterboxd reviews that a lot of people didn't care for the whole edgy, these guys aren't likable vibe for the most part. Like obviously Frank is like the more likable character, but he's used in bits, right?
Yeah.
And you do spend a lot of time with the largely unlikable characters.
Yeah.
And so I think people were lost on that. And it is like an indie movie. Like it does have that sort of indie movie feel, despite looking really great. It does still have like that kind of indie quality to it. And I don't think some people like that. Some of that's maybe why we're losing some audiences there. But similarly, IMDb is 6.9.
Ooh.
Metacritic 75, though.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah. That's pretty solid there.
Yeah. Box office, though, on a budget of $1 million.
That sounds about right.
Wikipedia has it at a box office of $1.9 million.
Hey, we made money.
Which is the exact same amount that Tusk made.
How much more did Tusk cost to make?
Well, I think Tusk also had like a small like $1 million. Oh no, it lost money, didn't it?
No, it lost quite a bit of money. I remember this was something that our man just kind of poured money into and never got back.
However, the website we usually use, thenumbers.com, accounts for a 2017 theatrical release in South Korea.
Oh, okay.
Which brought the total worldwide to 2.1 million. So suck it, Tusk. Frank's up.
Okay, well, I'm looking up the Tusk budget right now.
All right.
3 million was the budget. Rough. So triple.
And this movie had Michael Fassbender, Domhnall Gleeson, and Maggie Gyllenhaal.
And this movie was good?
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Weird. Would you ever watch it again?
Oh, yeah. I'd watch the shit out of this one again. Yeah,
I would too. It's a hard one to recommend, though.
Yeah, I think it probably does take a specific crew of people. Like, I already know people who I wouldn't recommend this to, and people who definitely. I absolutely am telling to go watch this because it's so enjoyable.
How would you rank it if you just gave it like a out of 10?
I'm going to slap this down an 8.5, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
What would you slap this as?
I'm giving it like an 8. Yeah, okay, 8 out of 10, yeah. But no, I really like it.
Yeah.
It has a 3.5 on Letterboxd.
Oh, that seems low because that kind of seems like it would have the audience of people who are ready for challenging characters who are dicks.
And a lot of the fun Letterboxd reviews came in the lower scores. So I got 3 here.
Makes sense.
Got a 3-star by Wes. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night every night from now on in a cold sweat from the line delivery of "I used to fuck mannequins."
It's really good. Okay, one of my favorite parts of the movie is when Frank is talking to John about Don fucking mannequins too. It's hard for him to find a lady and she has to lie perfectly still.
Yeah, man. That's great. I love that bit. And I love how they put a mannequin leg when they did the Viking funeral for him.
Oh, very good stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Half a Star by Steam Train had no trains due to leg. I wanted to go through the rest of Steam Train's reviews, yeah. But I think it was just a joke account for if they had trains or not.
He's fucking furious at train spotting. Are you a whole movie supposed to be about spotting trains? Are you kidding me?
Oh, fuck. And lastly, I got another half star by Kalia. Watched Frank with John and I think I liked it. It didn't seem to take itself too seriously. And I enjoyed Michael Fassbender and Maggie Gyllenhaal as ever. John found it more sad than I did. We ate pasta with scallops and broccoli, and I made rye old-fashioned. Half star review, but it's just an old woman's Facebook post.
It also sounds lovely. I would love to have that as an evening. Right? And that's a half a star?
Yeah.
Does she understand the star system?
I don't know.
It kind of sounds like she doesn't, because that review is giving me like a 3.5 yeah. kind of vibe, and she half starred it. Interesting.
I'm glad you enjoyed your pasta with scallops and broccoli.
That sounds good. Some rye. Yeah. Why not?
I saw that. I was just like scrolling through and it was kind of boring. And then I saw that and it was just so out of place.
It's so weird.
It literally looks like somebody's mother's Facebook post. Oh man.
How did they make a Letterboxd page?
I don't know.
Think that's complicated enough to filter out this kind of thing. Unless they just use it as a diary.
Maybe. I guess so. All right. Academy Awards. None.
No, not shocked
not
by that.
Even a little bit.
Nope.
However, it was a winner of the British Independent Film Award for Best Screenplay and Best Technical Achievement for its music.
I like that. They put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah. And it was nominated for 8 Irish Film and Television Awards. It was nominated for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Domhnall Gleeson, Best Actor in a Leading Role for Michael Fassbender, Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Original Score, Best Sound, Best Hair and Makeup, Best Editing, and Best Film.
Ooh.
It won Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Domhnall Gleeson, Best Director, and Best Cinematographer.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of that surprise you?
No, that all checks out, actually.
Yeah.
It probably only got any kind of steam in the indie circuit.
Yeah. I don't know what this could be nominated for an Academy Award.
I don't know if it needs an Academy Award nomination.
I don't think so.
It's got its own vibe going for it.
Definitely.
Really, the Academy Awards would be too mainstream. It would be like Claire refusing to play South by Southwest. It's too mainstream. We got to keep it indie.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I got some interesting facts here. At the 2014 Sundance Film Festival premiere of Frank, all the audience attending were given Frank masks to wear.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
I wish I had one. I wish I had a Frank mask. That'd be tight.
Michael Fassbender only had peripheral vision when he was wearing Frank's head.
I thought so. I couldn't see any eye holes and I was curious, but I didn't think about it too long. That's insane.
That's, I could not imagine.
Yeah. Also, why? Why can't he have just vision? Like, why?
Because he committed to the bit.
They didn't even make a point out of him not being able to see, though. Like, that wasn't an important detail.
And the original Frank, I think, had some eye holes.
You have to hope so. He's doing children's shows. If he walks around, he might be kicking.
And how did Michael Fassbender land a perfect punch on the bassist when they were like goofing around in their fitness regime?
I don't know.
He just like was like squaring up and then bam, dropped them.
Maybe he didn't mean to. Maybe he was trying to miss.
Oh, well.
Who knows?
The original script was mainly based in Sweden. It was switched to Ireland largely because director Lenny Abrahamson was more familiar with the Irish landscape. Although the biggest chunk of the movie is set in Ireland and both stars of the film are Irish, Michael Fassbender and Domhnall Gleeson, neither one of them is Irish in the movie.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. So Michael Fassbender is American, specifically from Kansas, and Gleeson's character is English.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, you're already fictionalizing it anyways.
I guess so, yeah.
But Strange. Co-writer John Ronson did play in Chris Seavey's, aka Frank Sidebottom's, support group, the Old Blimey Big Band. According to a Guardian article, the dialogue at the beach when John was being hired as a replacement for the keyboard is quite concurrent with how Ronson got into the Old Blimey Big Band, then by a phone call containing the same phrases such as, "I play keyboards. Can you play CFNG? You're in."
I love that line because that's what it is. Yeah. That's the gig when you're a keyboardist, especially when you got Maggie Gyllenhaal slaying the theremin. All we need some backing chords.
Yeah, and Ronson's first gig with the band was indeed at a bar, as John's was in the movie.
So, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I can't believe how quickly that first performance went to shit, though.
I know. It was immediate. It was like they're still doing the first, like, that's the extended intro to a song.
Yeah.
Clara's calling it quit. She's out of there.
She's just like, fuck this, and done.
And I can't tell if it was actually equipment malfunction or if she just got mad and left, because that's what happens when they do their like gig before South by Southwest. She just immediately gets mad and they leave.
Yeah. I feel like she just got mad before every gig, but then the equipment malfunctioned and then she was like, fuck this. I'm out.
I'm out of here. Which, I mean, when you're playing the theremin, it breaking would sound a lot like it being played normally. I don't know how you can tell the difference.
All right. Well, you have any final thoughts on Frank?
You know what? It's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's a good. It's also only like 95 minutes.
Oh yeah.
So if you're not enjoying it, you can tough it out for another hour or whatever. It's pretty good though. You'll have a good time.
Yeah.
What are your last thoughts?
Yeah, it's good. There's memorable bits to it. And it's good stuff.
Frank showering and John thinks he gets the drop in, but he just has another shower head on.
That's so funny.
God, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Actually, one final question for you. Did John deserve this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think he is up his own ass a little bit.
Yes.
He's definitely really trying to be famous, which is, you see at the start with him tweeting his daily life like he's some famous person, even though he only has 20 followers or something.
Yeah.
And so he continues to do it. And as a result of the band, does get a following and thinks that he can capitalize on that by playing his own song at the show. So I think him trying to play his own song at the show with Frank, and just him and Frank, shows that he is definitely taking advantage of Frank in that situation and trying to propel his own fame. So yeah, I think maybe a little bit.
I agree. I think maybe he didn't deserve it during the whole recording thing, but when they try and do the show, he deserves everything that happens to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he gave him this nest egg.
He did. It's kind of his fault though. He should have maybe seen that one coming.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to our second bonus episode of season two. Our third and final bonus episode of season two will be released the Friday before the finale. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Doves. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pods, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this film or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobias and on Twitter, and Jason's at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all those links are in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back on Monday for episode 19 of season 2. We're going to be talking about The Theory of Everything, another Best Picture nominee. So make sure to watch it before you listen. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye for now.